Philippians chapter 2 and maybe Romans chapter 1. But Philippians chapter 2. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2. As we see what God has for us here in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Dear God, we just ask that you'll guide and direct and let us understand and let us see and challenge our thinking for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The way you think. He is saying, in verse 5, let this mind be in you. Allow this mind to be in you. Allow yourself to think the way that God thinks. Allow yourself to think the way that Jesus would think. Now, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ first, deity first, Jesus second, humanity second. Talking about how God thought as a man when he was on earth. As Christians, we should change the way we think. We should change the way we look at the world. Attitudes, all kinds of things change for a Christian. But some of these changes aren't automatic. It says, let this mind be in you. Don't think it strange when you think different from other people. Don't think it strange when they don't understand you. Don't think it strange when they have a totally different value in life. Now look at the rest of this sentence. Remember I tell you to look at punctuation in your Bible? At the end of Christ Jesus we have a colon. That's two dots. Remember there's something else coming after that. It applies to that. Verse 6. Who? Talking about Jesus. Being in the form of God. Him being God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't have a problem being equal with God because he was God. God incarnate. God became flesh and walked among men. But the next verse, which is still part of the sentence, see the two dots again at the end of God. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now listen, we're talking about Jesus being equal with God. And not thought it being robbery being equal with God. But also God made himself of no reputation. We think about God leaving heaven and the glory of heaven and coming down to this earth. But we really don't understand all of that. We really don't understand what it was for God to leave heaven. We can't grasp that. We can't get it. It's beyond our comprehension to understand that. There's been, what was that? The prince and the potter or something like that? These two people changed places. Huh? Prince and the pauper. Yeah, they was a poor man, and they were twins, or looked alike, and they changed places. And one became, the poor urchin kid became the prince, and the prince went out to live like the urchin. And they saw each other's life and how drastic it was. That is nothing compared to what it was for Jesus to leave heaven and come down here. There's a gospel tract that Chick wrote about called Charlie's Ants. And he watches these ants, and he looks at these ants, and he follows these ants and all those kind of things. Well, they're building a dam or something other, and they're going to flood this field where he goes and watches these ants. So he's down there at the ant den trying to holler at these ants, telling them they need to move because they're all going to drown. Well, they don't listen to him. They don't hear him or anything else. So one of his little buddies says, well, the only way that they're going to listen to you is if you become an ant and go down there in that ant den with them and tell them. And then maybe they'll believe. He says, oh, yeah, I ain't going to, no way, you know. Listen, that's what Jesus did. He took upon him the form of a man. And a servant to serve mankind. Made in the likeness of men. And verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Not just dying, but the crucifixion, the execution, all the horrible things that goes along with how someone would die on that cross. So, in a reference to thinking like Jesus, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. He's talking about becoming humble. He's talking about not being proud. He's talking about leaving the glory of heaven as we think about the mind and how Jesus thought. What went through Jesus' mind as he saw the multitudes of people? So he moved with compassion, doesn't it say? He would have gathered you as a hen gathers the chicks, but you wouldn't come. What did Jesus think when he tried to reason with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes? What did Jesus think? What was going through his mind? He was not being proud. He was being humble. And he was trying to reach the people around him. Let this mind be in you, as it was in Christ Jesus. A Christian cannot think and look at the world the same way everybody else does. I want us to go to Romans chapter 12. I started with the hard one to find, and we'll go to the easy one to find. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 12. About, I beseech you therefore, brethren. About this. Now listen, what we're reading here in Philippians, what we're reading here in Romans, what we're going to go over and read in Corinthians is all directed to Christians. People that are saved. It says, I beseech ye brethren. That means brothers and sisters in Christ. That by the mercies of God, what? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your life. Jesus had a body. Let's go on here. By the mercies of God, by what he allows to happen in your life, that present your bodies a living sacrifice. Somebody that's alive, not dead. Holy, set aside, acceptable, because you are holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, we've preached on this before, but I want to go to the next verse here. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Changing the way you think. Renewing of your mind. Reprogramming your mind. changing what you think about, your priorities, your life, your goals, changing how you think about things, changing about how you see things, changing what you think about life, changing what you think about your neighbor, changing what you think about your money, changing what you think about your clothing sometimes, changing what you think about the music you listen to, changing what you think about what you watch, by the way you act, by the way you talk, by what you eat, all of these things, changing the way you think. How? By the renewing of your mind. To be a successful Christian, after you are saved, you have to allow your mind to be reprogrammed. If you do not allow your mind to be reprogrammed, you're going to have a lot of trouble as a Christian. If you're going to try and think like you used to and live like you used to and still be a Christian, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. That by the renewing of your mind, what? That you might prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Good. What is good in your life? What is acceptable in your life? And what is the perfect will of God in your life? Changing the way you think. Changing what your priorities are in life. Look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, we had mercy in 1, grace in verse 2, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There it is, being humble again. Anytime we start talking about how you think, and we start talking about your mind and your attitude, we start talking about being humble. Pride is the enemy of God's work. It says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, straight, level-headed, not crazy, not weird, not dumb ideals. What's one of the main things of a drunk? They can't walk a straight line. They can't speak straight. Their coordination is all off. They're all kind of just spastic or whatever. Well, some people's thinking is that way. Their thinking is not straight. Their thinking is this way, that way, this way, up, down, around. You know, and that's how their thinking is. Remember the old cartoons with Daffy Duck? You know, and he'd just go all crazy when something would happen. That's how some people are. That's how they think. They're not sober in their thinking. Why? Because they haven't allowed their mind to be reprogrammed or to be renewed, and they're not wanting to think like Jesus. Think, but to think soberly, accordingly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, what he's given you. We got mercy, grace, and faith all right here in 3 verses. God made you the way you are. God gave you the talents you have. He gave you the abilities that you have. Use them. But start thinking like Jesus. Many Christians, whatever skills or talents or duties or whatever they have, God takes those and uses them in the ministry. There's been many people who say, man, that person would be great in the ministry. Man, that person could do that. I wish they was part of the work, you know, different things like that. Because you see the potential in them. You see the talent in them. You see the availability, and they're in all the things they can do. Some people are great with certain areas, and somebody else is just a, you know, I'm not a carpenter. I can hammer a nail most of the time. And that's, you know, and I can cut some boards. But I mean, as far as actually makings, you know, I made a doghouse, you know. And it didn't fall apart. It was a little different, but I made one. But you give me something with nuts and bolts and metal and cars, that's a different story. You give me a box with the recipe on it and say, make a cake. And I said, it's all right there. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's all right there. But it don't always turn out that way. There's different abilities, different skills, different talents that people have. But let God program the way you think to be sober. A Christian sees things differently. A Christian understands things differently. You look at someone's life, you understand differently. You see what's going on. A Christian sees the world for what it really is. It's not all bells and whistles and flashing lights. Have you ever been to where they film a movie? And when I was in Texas, in Brackenville, which was between Del Rio and San Antonio, they had Alamo Village, where they filmed the Alamo. John Wayne, all those goes way back yonder. Well, it was a little tourist town. You go into town, they'd have little guns, shootings and all that stuff, you know. And you could go in a bar and order a root beer, you know, and things like that, you know, and stuff like that. Well, they had a front there that looked like the Alamo that they'd made. But that was it. Just the front. There was nothing behind it. And the light poles, they covered with tumbleweeds and all kinds of things to hide them from the cameras. What you see on the screen is what somebody's put together and is not real. Star Wars and all that stuff. You know, all that stuff. That's all. That can't be. A Christian sees what's behind the bells and the whistles and the fake fronts. They see what really is behind those things of the world. And that's something that many people cannot see. They could walk down Alamo Village and think they was in the Old West. Some people today walk through life with the old proverbial rose-colored glasses. And they don't see the world for what it's doing to them. Snakes are pretty, a lot of them. But the most colorful ones are the most deadly ones. That is a warning to the rest of the animal kingdom. To some little kid, oh, that's pretty, I'll pet that. They don't see the world for what it is. Now, I want us to go over to 2 Corinthians. This will help you understand this a little bit more. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians, you're in Romans. The next book in your Bible is 1 Corinthians. You're almost there. And then in chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now see here in verse 9, not entered into the heart of man. In verse 10, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The unregenerated man, the lost man, the person that is not saved, it has not even entered into their heart the things God has for them. They haven't even thought about going to heaven or what he's going to be like when they get there and all these things. They may think they're going, but they have no way of knowing it because why? They don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Notice the capital S. For the Spirit, capital S, means the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Where do you understand the deep things of God? In your mind, which has been renewed and been trained, so you can understand the deep things of God. When you first start learning math, do you start with division? No. Do you start with subtraction? No. You start with addition, the easy. Then you go into the deeper things, and the deeper things, and the deeper things. Same way with the Christian. Let's go on here. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Notice the small s. Unregenerated person. Even so the things of God, no man, but by the Spirit of God. See the capital S? Two different spirits here in chapter 11. The spirit of man, how the lost person thinks. But things of God by the Spirit of God. Capital S. Capital S means proper noun. Applying to the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, see there's that other spirit again, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, the deep things of God. Know, where do you know? In your mind, in your heart, as they communicate together. Verse 13, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. They cannot understand the spiritual things of God because they have no spirit to compare things with. But the natural man, the lost person, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You cannot expect the lost person to understand these things of God. As you grow as a Christian, you learn more, you learn more, you understand more, you understand more. If sometimes you feel like you're talking to a block wall, you probably are. Because they're not getting it. They don't have the Spirit. They don't understand it. It's beyond their comprehension. And you're talking Greek to them. And they don't get it. They don't understand it, and they don't get it. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Look at this, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Who understands God to tell him what to do and give him instructions? But we have the mind of Christ. So we can think like God. As you renew your mind, as the renewing of your mind takes place in your life. When someone says, I'll go to church when they have something new, I've heard that before. That means you're not there. They're not paying attention. And they don't want to be there. And they're looking for somebody to blame it on for being gone. You know, how many thousands and thousands and thousands of sermons have been preached on John 3:16? You can still learn something. You can still learn something. If you're teachable. How do they say to combat losing your memory and Alzheimer's and all? How do they say to combat that? Exercise your mind. Learn to try and learn a new language. Jigsaw, crossword puzzles, things like that. Challenging games, think, you know, memory. Work. Don't just sit there by the TV and because pretty soon that's what you get, like, you know. Because mush goes in and mush comes out, and that's what you got is mush. But you got to work at it. I had somebody one time come into the Bible Institute we had here. Oh, I've done studying my whole life. I've tested my life. I'm done with that. I don't want to do it anymore. They thought they could just come in and sit down and take the classes and answer the questions and be done. They found out they had never grown. They had never grown. Been in church their whole life and never grown. I want us to look at one other place. 1 Peter. Way back past where we were. Easiest way is to go to Revelation and then turn back a few pages. Because then you have 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, and 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. Peter's just right before that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Written by Peter, the one that walked upon the water. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. He became sin on the cross, but no more. If you are going to have the same mind as Christ, then you have to cease from sin. Because that will corrupt your mind. Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. After he rose from the grave and went up to heaven. Now, he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Remember, he got his flesh from Mary. Mary was not holy. She had to have a Savior just like Jesus. What flowed in Jesus' veins was holy. That's why he prayed to God all the time, to keep the flesh under control. That's why he prayed in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done, as he controlled the flesh, because the flesh wanted to do what the flesh wanted it to do, because the flesh come from Mary. But now, he's done with all of that. He shed of all of that. He died on the cross. He paid the price for sin. He resurrected from the grave. He has a glorious body walking the streets of heaven right now, flesh and bone, sitting down on the right hand of God. He was seen of the disciples. He was touched of the disciples. They talked to him. They touched. He ate with them. Everything. He is in heaven, a human being, flesh and bone today. But he has none of the temptations that were combating him while he was on this world. How was it Satan was able to tempt him? You're hungry. Turn these stones into bread. He was tempting the flesh. But Jesus said no. All of that's behind him now. We need to strive We're still in this flesh. We're still in this world. But we can strive to put that behind us. But to the will of God in verse 2. Now look at verse 3. For the times past of our lives, many suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, the lost people. When we walked in lasciviousness, terrible sins, lust, excessive wine, reveling, banqueting, partying, banqueting, banquet, and abominable idolatries. Had my finger over it. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. It's okay to be different. I want you to see what they think it's strange. They think you're strange. The lost people think you're strange because you're not running with them like you used to. To the same excess of riot, being riotous, being crazy, being foolish, being stupid. Banqueting, band parties, raveling, abominations, idolatry, sex, sins, wine, all those things. Speaking evil of you. They speak evil of you because you are not running with them. But that's okay. Verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Talking about Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to judge the quick and the dead. Who are you going to give an account to? Your neighbors, your friends, your old drinking buddies, or your old rioting buddies, your old buddies you run around with? Are you going to give an account to them, or are you going to give an account to Jesus? Verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. They've got the same gospel being preached to them. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now, it's not talking about just drinking. It's talking about being sober in mind. Watch unto prayer. You think different. You act different, you talk different, as God is working on reprogramming your mind. But they speak evil of you because you're not running with them. But who do you need to be accountable to, them or to Jesus? You just keep Jesus happy. Let the rest of it fall where it falls. You just worry about keeping Jesus happy. You worry about having Jesus look down at your life and say, you're doing good. You just worry about pleasing Jesus. Don't worry about all this other stuff. Don't worry about what they say about you. Don't worry about what they think about you. Don't worry about what they say behind your back. Don't worry about the evil things they say about you. Because you think different. You see the truth and you know what's right. And you know what needs to be done. So don't worry about it. You just please Jesus. A lot of times they're mad, they're jealous, they're upset, all kinds of things, emotions they have. Because you're different now. You're not the person they went to school with or the one they used to hang out with or whatever. You're different now. Something's happened. You're a new creature. You're born again. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. 1 Corinthians. It's okay. It's okay. Because as a Christian, you have a new family. And you stand true to Jesus. You let them see the truth in your life. You let them see that you're genuine. A lot of people say, well, I'm just going to sit back and watch. This ain't going to last. When you're born again, a new creature, you cannot get unborn. So when Monday rolls around and the alarm clock goes off and you say, I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to deal with those people. I don't want to be around those people. I don't want to fight the traffic. I'm just tired of all of this. You ask yourself, what does God have for me today? What does God want me to do today? Who am I going to get to share the gospel with today? Who's going to see my life today? What does God want to do in my life today? You're going to work for a different reason. Yes, you've got to live and eat. But a Christian should be the best employee that anyone has. Now, you may not be the most skilled. But when the work starts at 8 o'clock, you don't show up at 8:01. And when lunch is from 12 to 1 or whatever it is, you're back. And in some places, you can't just walk in the door and start. If you're going to start working at 8 o'clock, you've got to be there a little bit ahead of time to get things out, get things organized, get things set up. So when the whistle blows, which they don't do anymore, then you're ready to start. Because you need to be an example. Don't worry about what they say. They might call you names. But you say, hey. When they start calling you names and different little slangs and all that stuff they have for you, well, that's all right. I'm just trying to please God and do the best I can. And walk away. It's okay to be peculiar people. That's what Peter said. You are peculiar people. Because your mind has been changed and you think different. And there's some things you're never going to be able to explain unless they get saved. Because they have no idea what you're talking about. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation here. If God lays something on your heart, you need to get right between you and God. If there's something you need to do in your life between you and God, this is the time to do it. Dear Jesus, we just ask that you'll take this, that you'll encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us for tomorrow. Help us be a witness for you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.